Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Have you ever dreamed of writing more, or maybe even writing a book? Well, if so, today's episode is for you. And even if writing isn't your thing, hang in there, because I think some of these ideas about how to write a book apply to any of us who want to live a more creative life. You know, over the past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to interview so many creative people. I've interviewed writers like Rondi Lightmark, Susan McCabe, Tom Pruksma, and Jeannie Okamoto, poets like Anne Spears and Margaret Ronconi, and songwriters like Cat Eggleston and Isaac Slade and Chuck Rehm. So many of us have had to learn the hard way how to do our creative work. But today, I'm going to give you the tips I learned in the years of writing and publishing my book, Meeting the Muse After Midlife, A Journey to Meaning, Creativity, and Joy. And hopefully that'll save you some months and a few potential wrong turns. So hang in there and here we go. Have you ever been at a party and someone has come up to you and in the course of conversation says, you know, I really want to write a book, or I'm thinking about writing a book, or I have a book in the closet that I really want to publish? Well, I have, and I almost always have the same question, and that is, are you writing right now? It's not rocket science to think that if you want to write a book, you'd better be writing, and writing a lot. Because it's like if somebody came up to you and they said, I want to run a marathon. You'd think, well, are you practicing every day? Are you getting your body in shape? Are you getting your muscles ready? Do you have a good warm-up that you pursue? Because believe me, writing a book is like a marathon. And the good news is you don't have to wait. And the best practice for writing a book is to be writing today. So that's my tip number one, start writing. Tip number two, know your why and your who. Knowing why you want to write a book will help a lot when you hit the tough spots. And believe me, you will. There were so many times when I didn't know how I'd make it through and how I would finish my book, but I never doubted that I would because I knew my why. And part of that why is about the who. Knowing who you're writing for and knowing how you want to affect their lives and maybe even change them is a great motivator. And when someone says to me, oh, my book is for everyone, I kind of cringe because I know what they're saying is they don't know who their book is for. And maybe it's not for anyone, because you want to feel who's going to be reading you. It's almost like you want to know the persona, the like an avatar, who's going to be sitting night after night with your book. Who are they? What are they like? What do they do? What are their goals in life? What are their pains? Make friends with your avatar and allow them to begin to tell you what they need in your book. See, book writing is really different from making art, at least in my world, because when you're making art, you want to feel the process and get into your own psyche and produce something without having to worry too much whether you're going to sell it or even who it's for. Unless, I suppose, you're at a certain part of the art world where you have to know that, but I'm not there. But writing really demands that you're aware of who you're talking to. Writing is like a conversation. And don't forget that there will always be someone else. Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself. And that is good. That can be journaling. But for writing to become a book, you need to know your who. This is Sally Jean Fox, and I'm sharing today my top 12 tips for writing and then publishing a book. Tip 3, prepare to be a student who's going to be learning and unlearning a lot. So what if in your career you were or are a managerial hotshot, a star athlete, or you had some other claim to fame? Unless you are adept at writing books, prepare to be a novice and get excited about that and the process of learning a lot. And prepare to be unlearning a lot. There's so many myths about writing, publishing, and being a creative that aren't going to help you on your journey. They're just myths, and they're probably not going to fit your life. So get ready to let them go. And even if you've been writing all your life, and you might be the queen of corporate memos or even op-ed articles, know that your expertise won't necessarily translate to writing romance novels or the genre of writing that appeals most to you. Sure, you might have fine-tuned the art of legal briefs, but when you start writing your historical treatise, you'll need to make it fascinating and engaging. And I'm sort of assuming that most legal briefs are not. So you're going to need to unlearn one style so that you can start on another. When I first started writing seriously, I found that I had to unlearn a lot of what I thought I knew about writing. Because I had an academic background, I taught in a university, I had a doctoral dissertation under me, and none of that went well with the kind of speaking to regular people that I wanted to do in my writing. So I began blogging. Even though some of my writer friends kind of turned their nose up on blogging, I smiled back at them and said, you know what? Blogging has me writing every week to an audience, and it doesn't get better than that. Because after some years of blogging, I no longer had an academic voice, and I could begin my book. This is Sally Jean Fox, and I'm talking today about the art of writing and then publishing a book. And if you have questions about what I'm saying, drop me a line at sally@engagingpresence.com, and I'd love to be in conversation with you about it. Now for tip number 5, have discipline. This is where my skills in self and time management from my teaching and consulting career really translated over into my writing, because writing takes seat time. And you may have to be really creative with how you find that time. What works for somebody else may not work for you. And no, I'll never be the writer who starts at 9 a.m. and puts in an 8 or 9 hour day like a corporate manager. Or the writer who rents a fancy hotel room for herself and goes on writing marathons. I know pretty well when my good times are to write and how much time I can sustain before it just starts to go flat. So I need to fit writing into my life, at least most of the time. That's what matters, knowing how to fit it into my life. And it's fun. I get to make up my own practices and rituals that fit my life after reading a lot about the practices and rituals famous writers have used over time. Tip number 6, track on something besides success, if success means making the bestseller list. Of course, if you like to buy lottery tickets and don't mind terrible odds, I guess nothing's wrong with believing that you can make the bestseller list and nurturing that fantasy. Especially if that myth gets you out of bed in the morning and into your writer's chair. But for most of us, tracking on being a bestseller is going to leave a lot of us deflated and disappointed. There are so many better indicators of success you could choose. Like for me, knowing that I brought joy into someone's life is like $1 million. It counts so much. Or knowing that something I wrote has left someone thinking, or knowing that I might have offered just a little bit of wisdom that's spreading in the world. Those have been my markers. the bestseller list I can't control, but my own writing and what I choose to put into it and how I offer the best of what I can to my readers, that's something I can control. Tip number 7, and here I'm going to invite a certain wariness, because please don't buy services for writers that promise they'll get you traditionally published. I have friends who are spending money on that, and I want to shake them. I could say, buy an hour of my time, and I will save you thousands of dollars. Because only literary agents have access to traditional publishers. And even those literary agents, if you can possibly hook up with one, will not guarantee that someone will publish you. And besides, it is super hard to get an agent. The publishing world offers lots of opportunities, but breaking into traditional publishing is hard. So I quaked when I heard that a good friend was working with a coach who was going to help my friend publish his 1,500-page nonfiction book that he's poured so many hours into, and publish it with a traditional publisher. So what's wrong with this coach's offer? Well, let's start with two things. First, not being straight with my friend that 1,500 pages is more than anybody's going to read these days, especially if you're not known for publishing 1,500-page treatises. And second, and not even more important, for failing to inform my friend that he was going to have to get an agent. You see, there used to be a time when there were tons of little presses, independent presses, that each had little markets, and you had a chance of getting into one of them. But the industry of publishing has radically changed, and now it has consolidated into 4 major players. Even though it may still look like there are a lot of small presses, when you get in close, you'll see that most of these presses are imprints controlled by one of the 4 largest publishers. Now, it's not impossible that your first novel might be picked up by a traditional publisher who turns it into the breakout hit of the year. It does happen. And so does somebody winning the lottery every month. It's just that the odds aren't good. Publishing is big business, and for publishers to stay afloat, they need some big wins, which is why they're looking for writers with guaranteed readership, a large number of followers, or a name like Michelle Obama. And bless her, I love her work. When I started writing my book, and let's take us back 9 years, I was told that I'd need about 20,000 followers for a traditional publisher to even consider me. Now I think that number is up to 100,000 followers, because publishers have learned that having a large following on TikTok or Substack doesn't necessarily guarantee that people are going to buy your book. And the equation always feels a little unfair to me, because how are you going to get a ton of followers and influential speaking gigs without a book? It's kind of a catch-22, but that's the way publishing is. And you need to understand that. And don't spend money on people who would tell you otherwise. This is Sally Jean Fox, and I'm talking about writing and publishing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter if you contact me at sally@engagingpresence.com. Now, tip number 7, have a timeline and understand what the implications of your timeline might be. Let's assume your book is almost done and you see the light at the end of the tunnel. First of all, super congratulations, you've almost done it. Now, next question, how long do you want to wait to get it published and out into the world? I heard a story recently that made me sad. A friend's husband has a nasty terminal cancer, and that, of course, is sad enough. And he has a book he cares a lot about, and he wants to get it out in the world while he's still around. That's a great idea. Trouble is, he wants it to be traditionally published. He likes the status that goes along with traditional publishing, and who doesn't? It's great if you can get it. But here's the typical reality. It takes a long time to get your book accepted by a traditional publisher, if you can at all, and then a long time to get it published. So let me give you an example. The time it might take to shop your book with an agent and score an agent, if you're even able to do that, let's say 1 to 2 years. How about the time for the agent to shop your book to publishers and hopefully lead to a deal, although that's never guaranteed? Let's add on another 1 to 2 years. And finally, how about the time for the publisher to put your book into their queue and publish it? Okay, you can guess, 1 to 2 years. Now, I suppose there can be exceptions if you got the world's most timely topic and you have a whole army working to get it out in a number of months, but that's not the way it usually happens. And I would never recommend to someone dying of cancer that they wait for an agent. Pay the money. Get your book out in the world. Self-publish and do it tomorrow, and then go celebrate that your book has been birthed into the world. And for that, you'll need tip number 8. Understand the publishing world. It's changing constantly. And it's probably different today than when I published my book 2 years ago. But when I was finishing my book, I had 4 publishing options. And that's what I want to share with you. Number 1, we've talked about this, publish with a traditional press, which means you have an agent. I ditched that option early on. 2, publish with an independent press that accepts submissions and doesn't require an agent. If you have a topic that fits the interest of a small press or a university press, you might get lucky. Do your research, though, because many of the independent presses from 15 years ago are now imprints of traditional presses, and you're back in the agent game. Or they are, quote, a self-publishing wing of a traditional publisher, which means that you get to publish under the name of a traditional sounding publisher. But guess what? You're going to bear the entire cost of publishing, which means you're actually self-publishing. It's just that the name sounds a little bit better. They may not be able to do anything more for you, though, than you could do for yourself. Option number 3. Go hybrid. And the hybrid publishing model, it's kind of interesting. It means that you're working with a publishing house that often curates its offerings. So you have to submit and be accepted. And that gets it a certain amount of more prestige because your work has been curated. But here's the rub. They take your book, and if you're accepted, you will still have to pay nearly all the publishing costs. And I can tell you that many of the hybrid publishers charged more than I had to pay to self-publish. Now, there are many pros and cons in going with a hybrid press, but beware, because as the market for self-publishing grows, some of these hybrid publishers are scammy. She Writes is a good one, but there are many more who followed in those footsteps, and they take your money and don't provide the level of services that you deserve. Finally, option 4, self-publish. It's the option I chose. Yeah, I had to foot the bill, but the service that I went with, and I carefully reviewed options to get a service that would publish me at the same level of service that I would normally have gotten from a traditional publisher. Like, my book, when it came off the press, looked great, at least as good as I would have gotten from She Writes or a traditional publisher. And I had a lot more control over what it looked like, how it was laid out, and what the cover was. But I paid for it all. And that meant paying for different levels of editing support, paying for proofing, cover design, layout, and more. And that was before any meager marketing expenses that I had to pay. But I'm still glad I did it, because self-publishing meant I get to keep all the royalties once the costs of the book are handled by the distributor. And there are a couple ways that my book has gone out. And I have control over the book. And if I want to make a revision, I make it on my time to my standards. I don't have to wait. And by the way, did I tell you that I got my book out in 6 months rather than 6 years? Finally, tip number 9, understand the economics. It's hard, almost impossible, but not totally impossible, to make money on a book you publish. Even many traditionally published authors never pay back the initial, quote, advance they're given by their publishers. And if you're self-publishing, your book may end up costing you a good deal. Now, some publishing houses that I checked in would have charged me $30,000 to publish my book. And how do they get away with it? Well, they're servicing consultants usually, who, quote, want to have a book and will be paying back these exorbitant costs in increased consulting income. So it works for them. They need a book. They want a book. Their business will be more prestigious if they have a book, and they'll pay through the teeth for it and probably have somebody ghostwrite. No complaints about what they're doing, but it wasn't the model I wanted to follow. I had to be pretty prudent with costs. In fact, I did something that took a lot of courage on my part, and it wouldn't be for everybody, but it was for me. I went to my friends and family and, with a big gulp, crowdsourced my book's publication. In other words, I asked friends and family for financial support, and it was one of the scariest and most wonderful things I did, because people just stepped up. They knew how much that book meant to me, and they were behind me. And so not only did I have a little bit of financial support, but I had a lot of moral support. And that meant the world to me. But back to economics. You don't have to make your money on the book. You can make it through future opportunities you may have to write an article, or maybe another book, or maybe a traditional publisher sees what you've done and says, hey, write me your next book. You may gain followership and more interest in your work. You may gain clients if you're offering services. I have paid for my book, but I paid it by getting a couple of great clients, one of whom I'm helping to write a book. And I never would have had that opportunity without writing a book. And finally, you may have opportunities to speak or teach, and I would hope that some of those are paid. And that list goes on. So a lot of the money that writers make may not come from direct sales of a book. So don't let the money stop you. Just find other ways to pay for it and other ways to profit from your book. Tip 10, and I'm reaching the end of my tips, so here's just a couple more. Let AI help you, but don't let artificial intelligence drive your show. When I read Substack posts, and I'm a writer on Substack myself, I write Sally Jean Fox, Embracing the Muse, I can sense when AI has had too big a role in creating a piece of writing. I know that we're at a stage where you could turn over an idea to AI and it could write the whole darn book. But don't go there. It's creepy. Remember and never forget that you like writing, or you like most aspects of it. And if you don't, well, then that's different. And But I still wouldn't go to AI. Just find something that you really love doing and pursue that. Don't give away your creative process to another non-human entity. Having said that, though, I'm not dinging AI. It can be incredibly useful. It can be useful for polishing your book when you're doing final edits. It's great for checking grammar. And I've used a program called Grammarly for several years. And I'm learning from my frequent grammar mistakes. And AI is actually turning me into something of a knowledgeable grammarian. Thank you very much. AI is great at generating checklists of what you'll need to take the next step in your publishing journey. AI is great at creating promotional materials if honking your own horn is not your forte, and I can tell you it's not mine. And finally, one bonus tip that's so important that I think it kind of supersedes all the others. Writing a book, as I've been talking about, is hard work. You may find yourself feeling so frustrated, you may pull out your hair, you may face disappointments, you may never get the brass ring of fame or fortune, but it may be one of the best things that you've ever done in your life, and I want you to be able to celebrate that. You need to know what success is going to look like for you. And now, the secret sauce, the most important thing I can tell you about your publishing journey, and that is you've got to love the work. You've got to love the process. You've got to love the writing. You've got to love the book. Because here's the thing. If you love it and you hold it in your heart and you defend it against all intruders, chances are it's going to love you back. And the results will be magic. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.